Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 258 of Selling the Couch. Hope you're having a wonderful day. It's really nice just to be able to connect with you over the airwaves. As I record this, man, we are less than 30 days away from the presidential election, and I know that for many of us, this is just such a stressful and overwhelming and hopeful and all of those time. And I hope that no matter where you are politically and who you're voting for, I hope especially that you are taking good care of yourself, you are creating space for enlightening dialogues and all of those different things. I'm a big believer that we can't exist if we're truly divided. And I hope that, you know, especially as clinicians, I hope that you're able to take some space to really learn, especially from others who may have differing viewpoints than you do. I know that this is something that I'm actively thinking about and trying to do as well. Today's podcast is supported by Kelly Miranda and the team over at ZiniMe. And I learned something recently, which is that, did you know this, that therapists are among the worst paid master's degrees? And Kelly and Miranda and the team over at ZiniMe believe that it's time to stop that. They actually have something called Business School for Therapists, which is basically this opportunity to learn those business skills and those marketing skills that we often didn't learn. And even if we are a practice owner, there are likely gaps in our knowledge, and Business School for Therapists fills that gap in that knowledge. They actually have a ton of really awesome free trainings on their site, and I encourage you to check it out, including a number of private practice masterclasses that are absolutely free. You can learn more about it over at sellingthecouch.com/ZiniMe, and Zinni is spelled Z-Y-N-N-Y-M-E. So today's podcast, it's actually the first of a two-part series. It's all about live streaming. And live streaming is actually, well, before I get started, so I started a live stream right around when this pandemic started. I decided to call it the STC Online Income Stream. And the tagline for it is growing our impact and our income beyond the therapy room. And as I record this right now, we mainly focus just on podcasting and online courses, but I have plans to expand it into different areas like entrepreneurship and email list building and online community building and a bunch of different stuff. And truth be told, I was really nervous about starting this live stream. I'm not the most comfortable around, especially on video. I find myself getting a lot more self-conscious. And in fact, I tried a few live streams a few years ago when Periscope first came out, and I absolutely hated it. I was so nervous. I hated trying to use my phone to talk. And then I got really self-conscious when I realized that half the time I was talking and no one was actually watching. So I was trying to look for dialogue and trying to create meaningful dialogue, but no one was actually watching the live stream. And it was really embarrassing. And I think it confirmed a lot of my fears about why not to do a live stream and why I should just stick to podcasting and all of those different things. But that was a few years ago. And as Selling the Couch has grown, and I think more importantly, as I have grown as a person and as an entrepreneur, I've thought again and again about live streaming. One of the reasons is, you know, I've since that time, I've done a lot more videos. So I do a lot of webinars. I do monthly Q&As. I do monthly teaching workshops, a bunch of different stuff like that. And I've gotten more familiar and more comfortable just being in front of the camera. And so I just thought maybe it's a good time just to explore it, especially because, I was so scared and maybe I'll have a different experience this time. And even when I first started the Selling the Couch online income stream, I really, really did struggle with it. They're basically 15-minute talks focused on growing our impact and income beyond therapy room. And the way I set them up is 1 week we talk about a podcasting-related topic. The next week we take a podcasting related or a online course related topic or a question, and we just explore it for like 15 minutes. And I share some of the tips and strategies I've learned along the way, and then we sign off until next week. The other reasons that I wanted to get back into live streaming is one, I follow a lot of the marketing space and where things are going, and especially since this pandemic, live streaming is just taking off. And I imagine it's going to continue to grow. And not just a live stream where, you know, you might have your iPhone out and just do a live stream, which is perfectly okay. But I was actually more interested in doing a little bit more of a professional quality live stream. So I imagine using live stream both for STC and then also to serve my private practice clients who tend to be successful entrepreneurs who are feeling overwhelmed and stressed out. And the other reason I wanted to do a live stream is I want to create more videos just down the line. So video content, but also record more online courses. And with online courses, that definitely requires you to be on video. And it just means that I have to get more comfortable and more natural sounding in front of the camera. The other reason I wanted to do a live stream is I love to teach, and I feel like it's one of my strengths, but at the same time, I want to get better at it because I feel like there are so many ways and things that I can get better at. And I felt like doing a live stream when there's the opportunity for live feedback and the opportunity to kind of mess up in live time without the option to edit, right? I just thought that would be a really good, really just good learning experience and just make me a better teacher. And especially with the STC online income stream, I follow a same schedule as with the podcast. So I basically, live stream 3 months, take 1 month off, live stream 3 months, take 1 month off, live stream 2 months, and then take November and December off. That's at least my plan for the online income stream this year. This is kind of a 1 year experiment to see if I like it. And thus far I have, surprisingly. And then I think the final reason I wanted to do live stream is I've learned in my own business journey and just personal journey that the best or at least the most unexpected stuff in life and in business happens when you push beyond what's familiar and what's safe and when you go to that which is unknown and scary. I was terrified to launch this podcast 5 years ago, and somehow we passed 1 million downloads 5 years later, right? And so, and I think just doing things like that, I think has just made me a more courageous person in life, right? Instead of always just planning, but never actually doing. With the live stream, as I mentioned, I wanted to make it a little bit of more high quality. And what I found over these past weeks is, first of all, there's a lot of tech that you have to figure out. And I really like technology and I nerd out on this stuff, but this is a lot of tech. And I started with a simple webcam. I use a Logitech C920. Oh, by the way, if you go to sellingthecouch.com/live streaming gear, that link has all of my live streaming gear listed. And then I have a little description about how I'm using it just to help you out. So, you know, I started, as I mentioned, with a simple webcam, and it was actually really embarrassing. So the very first or the second live stream, I have this little blanket in my room that I use sometimes just when I'm cold. I totally forgot to remove it. So it was like hanging out behind me. So it was definitely not the look that I was going for, but you know, you live and learn, right? I also had some pretty big tech issues. There were definitely a couple of times where the mic that I was supposed to be using didn't come through. And so it picked up my computer mic or the webcam mic. The webcam mic was okay, but it was a bit hollow. But I have my laptop placed in my desk. And so when the laptop mic was activated, my voice for, I remember one of the live streams where I was like really into like showing folks how to show something on my screen. And about 3 minutes in, somebody on the live stream is like, "Hey, we can't hear you." And I'm like, "Oh." So, you know, you learn and stuff like that. And I don't know, it's nothing like in vivo exposure, right? So, but I've learned a ton of stuff just about live streaming from watching a lot of YouTube videos and actually then diving in. And as I shared, this is a two-part podcast episode. Today, I want to share the tech that I'm using for the live streams. And the next episode, I want to actually talk about content creation and how I actually create content in a 30-minute chunk every week. So I'm not spending like hours and hours creating content. And again, as we go through some of this gear, if you go to sellingthecouch.com/live streaming kit, it has all of my stuff listed. So the essential gear that you need for a live stream, especially like a pro quality live stream, and when I mean like pro quality, I mean like the lights and the, like your face is really nicely lit up. There's like a sparkle in your eyes. The background that you're recording from is kind of blurred out, but you are in focus and you're really sharp. The mic that you're using is like not actually on the screen during a live stream. So you're not like talking into like a podcasting mic like I'm doing right now, which I actually did for the first several episodes of the live stream because I was still saving up for a mic. But the mic is off screen, and then you're using some sort of professional software to be able to, for example, interact with your audience while you're doing the live stream, pull up their comments onto your screen. If you have like, you know, a certain link that you want them to follow, being able to pop that link up on the screen, stuff like that. And so the essential gear is that you need for a live stream is, first of all, you need a digital SLR. You need a microphone, and then you need a software. If you are a Windows user, I would look into a piece of software called vMix. So that's V as in like victory and then mix. So vMix. And then if you are a Mac user, which I am, I would definitely look into something called Ecamm Live. It's the software that I use. It's fantastic. There's so many cool things that you can do with this piece of software. And vMix does something very similar. So in terms of a DSLR, I'm going to share what the DSLR I use. But again, I would encourage you to go to sellingthecouch.com/live streaming kit because I'm recording this in October of 2020. And I imagine new pieces of tech will come out later. So if you use that link, I'll keep updating it for like my latest camera recommendations and stuff like that. So I use a Nikon D810. This is a very expensive DSLR, but that 99% of you guys that are listening do not need. The only reason I have this SLR is I do landscape photography as a hobby. And so I have this camera and It's been sitting around when I'm not taking photographs, and it also takes videos. So I was like, oh, I can just use that. And so you need a digital SLR. And again, if you use that link, there's some way cheaper recommendations that are as good quality. And I would recommend getting a wide angle lens. So I like the 24-70 kind of range when it comes to live streaming. I like lenses. So there's like what's called fixed focus lenses. And then there are these ones that I forgot the term is, but they essentially move from like one range to another. And a fixed focus means like you just get like 50 millimeters, right? It just stays at one thing. I would try to get one that moves because sometimes when you're doing a live stream, you may want to do more of a wide angle shot. Other times you may want to do a closer in, and it's nice to have the ability just to move that with a twist of a lens as opposed to swapping out the lens. As I mentioned, I use a 24-70, and then the other number you want to look at is what's called the aperture number. So it's a f2.8. So you want to try to get a lens that's under 2.8. So 2.8 to 1.4 is where you kind of want to really focus on. Now, the really nice thing about these 2.8 lenses is they give you a really crisp picture, but it gives you the background also blurred out. So it gives it a really nice professional look. So imagine, for example, if a potential referral source or a potential client sees this video, and it's not just like another webcam kind of live stream, or it's not a live stream through a phone. It just looks so much sharper. Again, that link at sellingthecouch.com/livestreamingkit has my gear as well, what I'm currently using, just so that it gives you information. The next piece of gear that you need is called a capture card. And the best way to explain a capture card is it takes the signal that our digital SLRs are creating from the video, and it takes it into our computer and converts that signal so that our computers can basically read it. And this is not essential because a lot of the Sony and the Canon and to some degree the Nikon digital SLRs, as I record this, you can actually just plug in an HDMI cable from your digital SLR into your computer and you can actually transfer it. The advantage of doing a capture card is the quality is like significantly better. And I use a Magewell HDMI card. And again, that link above has the one that I use, but I would highly recommend it. So a digital SLR will set you back. I mean, I would plan on spending somewhere between, again, you don't have to build this out right, like piece by, you can build it out piece by piece. But in total, I would probably anticipate spending somewhere between $1,000 to $1,500 to get all of this higher quality gear. I'm a big believer in you don't have to get like the top end of gear, but I'm a big believer in getting nicer gear, especially if you're going to be doing stuff like doing live streams and online courses and stuff. That way you're not having to like upgrade later and then you have to sell your current one, or what are you going to do with your current one? That kind of stuff, right? It's better to save up and just get the thing that you want. After this, you want a microphone. And as I mentioned at the beginning, there's an option definitely to put like a podcasting mic. The disadvantage with a podcasting mic is when you're doing a live stream, it's like literally right in front of your face. And so it's a bit distracting on a live stream. And sometimes it makes your face not exactly the easiest to see. If you actually look at some of the earlier versions of the STC online income stream, you can see what I'm talking about. On it, you'll notice like my left cheek and like half of my lips are covered up because I'm trying to like have this mic and talk into it, because you have to be really close to these mics in order to pick up the levels. And so what I decided to do was make a pretty big upgrade, and I decided to get a nicer mic. So I used the Rode VideoMic NTG. This is a fantastic mic. If you don't have a mic at all and you want something that's super versatile for online sessions where it gives you a rich sound, but it doesn't have to appear on the screen. If you are doing podcast interviews or have your own podcast, if you imagine live streaming, if you imagine creating online course content, if you are going to be interviewing people online, any of this stuff, I highly recommend looking into this VideoMic NTG. It's As I record this, it's around $249. It's not a cheap mic, but the really nice thing with this mic is that you don't need like a separate mixer for this mic. You can actually plug it just into the USB slot on your computer, and it produces a really nice and rich sound. The other advantage of this mic, as I mentioned, is you can have it like a couple of feet away from you. Like I have it probably about a foot and a half, 2 feet away from me. It kind of hovers over my head when I do the live streams. And so it's really convenient because I can speak and get quality sound, but the mic is not like directly in front of me. And then after that, you want to have some lights. And I recommend something more specifically called a softbox. And the purpose of lights is just to kind of light up your face. And it gives that sparkle to your eyes. And a softbox is a really good idea because it helps to disperse the light and gives it more of a soft glow on your face, as opposed to like a really harsh, like almost like a spotlight coming on your face. What I have found, I've done a lot of experimenting and watched a lot of YouTube videos just on setting up these lights. And the thing that I have found is if I'm standing facing the camera, I should have ideally it's good to have two lights. But if you can get away, you can get away with one. I only have one right now, but I'm planning on eventually upgrading to a second light. But you want to place each of those lights at about a 45-degree angle away from you. So if you're facing forward, do like a 45-degree angle and a 45-degree angle to your left and your right. So basically like a 10 o'clock and a 2 o'clock. And that's where you want to put these lights. And you want to put them as close as possible to your face without getting into the actual video. And the reason you want to do that is these soft boxes disperse light, so you want to kind of get as big of a soft box as you can afford. But you also want to put them really close to you because the closer they are to you, the more it just kind of disperses that light. So we've got a DSLR camera, DSLR. We've got a lens for it. We've got a capture card. We've got our mic. We've got lights. And the next thing we need is something called, and this is actually completely optional, but it is really helpful to have something like this, especially if you have multiple products and services that you offer through, you know, you have multiple niches, any of those things on your private practice website, or if you have like other stuff like an online course, if you have multiple email opt-ins, any of these things. And that thing I would recommend is called a Stream Deck. So the one that I use is called the Stream Deck XL. Again, if you go to sellingthecouch.com/livestreamingkit, it has the one that I use. So you don't have to, I linked it all to Amazon, so you can just click and buy. And it discloses that on there, but those are affiliate links as well. But the big advantage of a Stream Deck is that it allows you to configure a Stream Deck basically looks like, the best way to describe it is like a mini keyboard. So with a bunch of buttons, right? So it allows you to configure each of those buttons to what you want it to do. So for example, you could push a button and stop your live stream. You could push a button to start a live stream. You could push a button to have one screen come up and another screen disappear. But what I use the Stream Deck for a lot is when I am, for example, talking about a product or a service or an opt-in or something like that, I push a button and it shares the URL to where folks can find it onto my screen. It just gives it a lot more professional look. And then if, for example, if somebody is watching the live stream and they're like, oh, wait, what did he say? It's up on the screen and it just, you know, it makes it a lot easier for them to write it down or go visit the site. And then the final piece for a live stream, again, this is completely optional, but I really like to have some kind of like modern, relaxing music. And there are a number of companies out there that you can get like royalty-free music. You can get music, but not all of it's royalty-free. So for things like live streams, podcasts, YouTube videos, all of that kind of stuff, you need to make sure that it has all of the legal stuff. Like you can legally use that music on live streams, for example. The company that I found that does this and that has all of this covered is called Epidemic Sound. And they have modern music, but like you can pick different genres and all of that kind of stuff. And you can then pick music. So one of my challenges with this podcast episode is this is a bunch of audio, right? So you might be wondering, like, Mel, can you like show me like a behind the scenes of some of this in action? Good question. So I actually recently did an STC Learning Library conversation on live streaming where I did a behind the scenes look at all of this stuff. So for example, I took one of my cameras and literally moved it around my room and said, hey guys, this is the softbox that I use. This is the digital SLR I use. And this is the mic that I use. And this is how I position it and all of these different things. If you're a very visual person and you're interested in that or just interested and curious and wanting to really learn more, I would encourage you to check out sellingthecouch.com/learning, and you can learn more about that there. Then the final piece, and again, this live conversation goes more into the software and how I use it. Again, it's hard to show it on an audio conversation, right? But I actually showed the software and how I set it up and all of that kind of stuff. But I use something called Ecamm Live, and what this software basically allows you to do it is it allows you to control your live stream and almost see it as a production. So I can pull up my live stream on my desktop, which is what I do, and then I have my digital SLR connected to it. And the really cool thing with something like Ecamm Live is I can schedule live streams ahead of time, which I know you can also do that on Facebook. But the other really cool stuff is you can switch between cameras. So for example, if I want to switch between my digital SLR and my webcam, just to give two different camera angles, you can definitely do that. Another thing I really, really like is you can see the chats from Facebook and YouTube on Ecamm versus having to log into either Facebook or YouTube. So if you're streaming on Facebook or YouTube, then you don't have to worry about logging in and then trying to manage that chat. So the chat literally comes up on Ecamm Live. Just on the back end, you connect your YouTube account and your Facebook account to it. So that's how it's able to do it. But then the really cool thing is once somebody, let's say somebody comments on your live stream, you can then push a little button on Ecamm Live. It says add to broadcast, and their comment comes up and pops up right on the screen. And so you can say, hey, Jody mentioned, you know, they use such and such for, or they found such and such is helpful. Jody, you know, thank you so much for that. And that sort of engagement between viewers, I think, is just so helpful. And it keeps a live stream just more active and engaged. And so I would definitely encourage you to check out Ecamm Live, as it's a great option. You can go to sellingthecouch.com/Ecamm Live, or you can, again, just go to sellingthecouch.com/live streaming kit to get more information about the gear and software that I use. So I just want to be conscious of time. I hope that this has given you a little bit of an overview of how I set up these live streams. And again, if you are interested in seeing more of a video presentation of this, check out the Selling the Couch Learning Library. This is just an opportunity for us to be able to share some of the things that are working for us as we grow our income, as we grow our practices, but also our income and our impact beyond the therapy room. The next session, I'm going to actually talk about what happens after I get off the live stream and how I set up the next week's content so that I'm kind of batching it all and doing it all in one fell swoop versus, you know, spending hours and hours at a time trying to create content. Show notes to today's episode can be found over at sellingthecouch.com/session and then number 258. Today's podcast is supported by Kelly Miranda and the team over at zinnyme.com. I've gotten to know Kelly and Miranda here for the past, 7 years now. And I actually went through their business school for therapists. I would say it's one of those courses that's just been super pivotal in my own understanding of business. I felt like many of us, you know, I had never taken a business or marketing class in either undergrad or grad school. I don't know why. I think mainly maybe because, you know, like my, you know, well-meaning Indian parents wanted me to guide me sort of toward a certain career. And that was usually away from business. But I really wish I had taken it. But I got the opportunity to do that by going through Kelly and Miranda's business school for therapists. And they actually have a number of free trainings. And the one that I encourage you to check out on their site is they actually have this private practice masterclass where they dive into these kind of like bigger core issues that even full practice owners get stuck on from being truly profitable and protected from burnout. I feel like the burnout piece is so key, especially as we continue in this pandemic and even as we emerge out of it and then sort of come into this endemic level, right? I think many of us are really thinking about how do you create a business that is long-term sustainable? And I think many of us have shifted and prioritized things like connections with our loved ones and our own health, like reprioritize those. And so I would definitely encourage you to check out that private practice masterclass. You can find more information about it and a whole bunch of awesome resources for private practice owners over at sellingthecouch.com/Zinni Me. Okay, I will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
Hey friends, hope you enjoyed today's podcast session. And if you are in a season where you've been thinking long and hard about launching an online course, just wanted to invite you to our brand new workshop titled Behind the Scenes of a Small Launch to a $300,000 Online Course. You can sign up over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. We try to do a really good job with this workshop. We updated a whole bunch of new material, and some of the things that you'll learn in this workshop are the 5 key steps to take your course from an idea to generating income, some of my top gear and software recommendations in order to launch your online course, and the top 3 mistakes that I made with my Healthcasters podcasting course, which I launched back in 2015 and have been fortunate to have over 272 students in that course. Again, you can sign up over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting-workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting-workshop.